Good and gracious God, we thank you for your word that nourishes and sustains us, that comforts and that challenges us. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive your word, not mine, not ours, but yours, for you alone are God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is Isaiah chapter 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There is something about a garden, isn't there? I am a hopeless gardener. Some of you can attest to this. I am still very much developing any semblance of a green thumb. But I love being in a good garden. And thankfully, many of you have really good gardens. You can get lost in a garden. You can feel like you're in a different world. The air feels just a little crisper and cleaner. The sun shines just a little different. There's something magical about a garden, something that can change you. In the beloved children's novel, The Secret Garden, two children are in desperate need of change. Mary Lennox is a neglected and unloved 10-year-old who comes to stay at this manor house, and she acts out of her unlovedness by being churlish and self-centered. Her cousin, Colin, suffers from a spinal injury which has kept him bedridden his whole life. And so he, too, having been spoiled and waited on his whole life, is self-centered and demanding. And in the novel, first Mary and then Colin discover this secret garden walled up and hidden behind a locked door. And they begin to spend more and more time in the garden, and aided by the old gardener, Ben Weatherstaff, they start to bring the garden back into its splendor and beauty. And as they spend more and more time in this garden, they also begin to change, to grow right along with that garden, growing into an awareness of their problematic attitudes. And so one day, after Colin is rude to the doctor who's just come to see him, Mary scolds Colin and says, "It's always having your own way that's made you so queer." Colin thinks about this, And he realizes that he doesn't want to be queer. He doesn't want to be strange. He doesn't want to be rude. So he says to Mary, "I shall stop being queer if I go every day to the garden. Because there is magic in there. Good magic, you know, Mary. I am sure there is." And then he goes on when they're in the garden now. He says, "Sometimes since I've been in the garden, I've looked up through the trees at the sky, and I have had a strange feeling of being happy, as if something were pushing and drawing in my chest and making me breathe fast. Magic is always pushing and drawing and making things out of nothing. There is something about a garden." For the next 7 weeks, we are going to be in a garden. Every Sunday, our scripture passage will look at a different flower or plant or tree that acts as a metaphor or an image in a story about our relationship with Jesus, with God, with the kingdom. And this series really started on Friday when we stood around this cross in bewilderment, as the true vine that God had loved was ripped apart branch by branch. That bewilderment was an echo of the lament of Israel, generations before Jesus, crying out to God to save them, wondering why God would allow them, the vine he had taken out of Egypt and planted in Canaan and tended and loved, to be destroyed by their enemies. Friday, we were left with bewilderment around the broken vine. But in God's mysterious, majestic plan, that broken vine of Jesus was the answer to the cry of the Israelites. For God knew that in the death of Jesus, new life would spring forth. And so today, on this Easter Sunday, we place ourselves in the garden of Isaiah 35. This chapter is a response. It's almost a mirror image of Isaiah 34, which is a judgment text. Judgment on the nations who put their trust in humans, who lean on themselves, who have grown arrogant and self-centered and churlish in their behavior. Their lot, says God, shall be wilderness. The leaf on the vine will wither. The ground shall be overcome by fires. The people's fortresses will be overgrown with thistles and thorns. Ravenous beasts will stalk the land, and the buzzards will circle low in the sky. The reality of life without God is one of emptiness and barrenness and ugliness. But then comes Isaiah 35, a picture of life with God, of a life lived in trust, in relationship with God. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like a crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Everything about Isaiah 35 is about renewal. The weak become strong, the feeble grow steady, the blind see, the lame leap. The desert becomes an oasis with pools of water springing up out of the hot sand and rivers flowing and gurgling and bubbling, attracting the animals to come and drink peacefully along its banks. There are no hunting animals here, but deer and bumblebees, and otters frolicking in the water, and robins singing from their blossoming trees. And all the way through this garden, through this oasis, is a road, a highway. We hear the word highway and think of noise and busyness and congestion. But here the word has positive connotations. Because imagine, if you will, that you are on a road trip. And you've been making good time, you're cruising right along, and then you hit a town. And the four-lane highway that you've been on turns into a two-lane road through this town. feels like there's a stoplight about every 10 yards. And the road meanders through the town, over bridges, turning corners. It's peppered with pedestrians, crosswalks. And you creep and you crawl through the town until finally the buildings fall away, replaced by open fields. And the road branches out, not even just 4 lanes, but 6. And there isn't a stoplight as far as the eye can see. You have hit the highway again, and so you begin to fly. This is the good news of the highway of our God. A road, a path, unencumbered, uncluttered, free of any barriers that would prevent us from coming to God. This is the way of holiness leading to the city of God, to the tree of life, to the holy of holies, that road from wilderness to garden, from death to life. Because this highway isn't just here for the sake of a fun ride. This is the highway of our God. This journey brings us into the presence of the God who so desperately wants to be in relationship with us, wants us to be able to approach him with no cause for hesitation, with no barrier in our path. So God cleared the barriers, removed the thorns and the overgrown thistles, banished the wild and ravenous animals, and beckons us to come. Beckons us to come because of Jesus. When Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene outside the tomb on that first Easter morning, she mistakes him for the gardener. And in light of Isaiah 35, I don't really think that's a mistake at all. Because in his death and resurrection, Jesus is the one who cleared a path amidst the chaos and the brambles of life. He cut back the bushes, tore down the looming trees of sin and evil, allowing his light to reach all the way in. His death allows life to happen in its fullest sense. Colin said that magic is always pushing and drawing and making things out of nothing. And if ever there was magic, a true, a deep, a mysterious, a godly magic, it is this, that out of the nothingness of death, God creates life. And that life is relationship, communion with the triune God. When Adam and Eve rebelled, when they listened to and trusted the serpent instead of God, they were banished from the Garden of Eden and cast into the wilderness, angels guarding the entrance to that garden. Adam and Eve's was an Isaiah 34 reality. But in his death and resurrection, Christ unlocks the door to the garden and beckons us in, back into perfect relationship with the Father, back into that place where we can walk with the Father and talk with the Father because we are reconciled to him in Christ. The garden is hidden, is secret no more. Life is ours for the living. And so any barriers that might now stand in our way, that prevent us from living a full life in Christ, they are only there because we put them there. They're there because we still don't fully trust this good news that we can enter the garden. They're there because we've grown used to life in the wilderness, and we're afraid of the unknown of this garden. They're there because we spend more time listening to the voices that tell us to trust ourselves than we do listening to the one who stands in the doorway. They're there because we are unwilling to surrender ourselves to the gardener and to the pruning that might be required in our own lives in order for us to grow. Because the thing about Easter, the thing about this whole life out of death thing, is that if we are united with Christ in his resurrection, we have to be united to him in his death, too. And so we have to be willing to put to death those things in our lives that prevent the light from getting through, or that keep the words of life from taking root. To mix metaphors and to mix children's books, we have to be willing to let the lion rip the scales from our dragon hide before we can emerge ourselves again. So what is barring you from a full life in Christ? Where is your life overgrown with thistles and brambles? What do you need to surrender to the gardener? Because he will come if you ask him. There is nothing in your life too dark, too sinful, too shameful, or too heavy that will prevent Jesus from coming to you, from shining the light of his face upon you, from loving you, from changing you. Not even death can stop the love of Jesus. And by his resurrection power, he will tend and grow and protect us. He will call us further and further into faith, into hope, into life. Until one day we will stand before him most fully alive in that garden of gardens with nothing to do but bask in his beauty and wonder and awe. As Colin spends more and more time in the garden, and more time believing in the magic of this garden, he leans into that belief and lifts himself out of his wheelchair. And then he takes a few tentative steps. And then the next day he takes a few more, and then a few more, until eventually he is running and laughing and standing as strong a boy as ever. And one day he is so overwhelmed by the realization that he is healed, that he is well, that he has a long and healthy life ahead of him, that he shouts out, "I'm well! I'm well! I feel as if I want to shout out something, something thankful, something joyful." And the old gardener, Ben Weatherstaff, suggests that Colin might just sing the doxology. And so they do. The old gardener, Mary, Colin, their friend Dickon leading the way. Old Weatherstaff sings with tears in his eyes. "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise the one who is both gardener and true vine. The one who is both lion and lamb. The one who brings life out of death. The one who tends us in love." Would you pray with me? Lord our God, true vine and true gardener, we praise you today for the power of resurrection, for the promise of life, for the hope we have in you. We stand in awe and thanksgiving that you would go all the way to the cross for us, that not even death could stop you from finding us in the darkest of places, from loving us, from changing us, from healing us. And we give you thanks that in your resurrection, we too are brought into this new life, into your glory. And so we pray today, God, that you would make your resurrection power abundantly clear in places of shadow and death. Where there is violence, turn hearts towards love. Where there is grief, shelter the brokenhearted like a mother hen covers her chicks. Where there is pain, bring a softening and the possibility of forgiveness. Where there is illness, bring your healing. From last Easter to this Easter, we have experienced so much sickness, so much death, so much disruption and worry. Even as we are turning a corner towards normalcy, we pray for your hand of protection as COVID cases rise and hospitals are once more overrun. And we pray for little Owen today, newborn son of Amy and Eric and brother to Ethan, who's in the NICU facing heart surgery in the coming weeks. Give your peace to all the family as they wait. And we pray that Owen would grow stronger and stronger, upheld by your strength and your power. We pray too, God, for those who are weary in heart, who carry shame, who carry fear, who are anxious, who wonder what the future looks like, who wonder whether you will in fact meet them where they are. So make your presence known to all your children today, O God. Show up in surprising ways, in resurrection joy, in small bursts of love and life. For we know that there is nothing we can do that will ever stop you from loving us. You have declared this in the cross, and you have declared this in your resurrection. Love lives on, and love brings us life. Help us to live in love, O God. We pray this in the name of our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.